Ephesians chapter 6, again this morning, we look at the very simple declaration that the apostle gives, as we see in verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for our standing in Christ. Thank you for the righteousness of God that's been declared. Thank you that sinners can be brought into your presence. The one who is cried to be holy, holy, holy. Help us now, I pray. Please bless the word of God to our souls. Undertake for all of our sister churches, every God-called man in the pulpit right now. Please, Lord Jesus, in the power of the Holy Ghost, use your word mightily to purify your people and to save the lost. And above all, to magnify and glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus. We ask these mercies in his name. Amen. I want you to join me now a second time in the book of Romans chapter 3, please. Join me at Romans chapter 3. Not reading the entire portion of Scripture, but reminding you that Romans chapter 3 takes all of the loose ends that are described in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and coming into chapter 3, tying in all the loose ends of all humanity, that God addresses the condition of the human soul, whether they be Gentiles, pagans that live in far-flung parts of the world, or the Jew who God had been so gracious to use as the very vehicle by which God's word was given. And yet all mankind to be found in the declaration that begins at the 9th verse of Romans chapter 3 and continues through that 20th verse, not only showing that all men, every man, Jew, Gentile alike, that none of us are righteous, none of us are good, all of us have in our throat such awful and vile poison of sin. And the scripture comes to the conclusion in verse 19 that God has declared all of us to be absolutely guilty, and that every mouth will be stopped, and all sinners, all of mankind, to be declared to be absolutely and utterly guilty. God, having stripped away all of the facade of self-righteousness, leaving us exposed to the wrath of God, and being so absolutely convinced of the righteous judgment that we as sinners are silenced into shame. The glorious announcement after all of that comes in the 21st verse. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. That he, God, might be just and the justifier of him which believeth on Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. God had so clearly in these three chapters laid out our condition. And let me remind you that the Holy Spirit had taught the Apostle Paul these truths, and they were corrective to him and are intended to be corrective to us. Why? Because within our old nature, pride exists and must be exposed. Our old nature still cries for preeminence, and we must be untaught the presuppositions that all men are born with and promote. Because all men want to be credited for something. They've got something to do with their salvation. But the gospel is the gospel that not only exposes the condition of man, but shows us that it is only in God's grace that any sinner is ever awakened and saved. But the gospel of Christ is the good news of salvation by and of God through his only begotten Son. And so the scripture that we have been considering there, this great conflict that God's people are engaged in, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in these high places. God has given to us armor. Armor to put on. Armor to wear. Armor to stand in. And having done all to stand, stand. Our loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. Paul had begun this examination by saying that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it being the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. How is it that you, a sinner so described in Romans chapter 3, described as being not righteous, not even understanding, having gone out of the way, and God declaring that in you is this absolutely nothing good. That's a hard pill for the human spirit to swallow. And then to go on to say their throat, this is a description of your throat, their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues have they used, with their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's not an easy thing for you to say. God, left to myself, this is an absolute description, not from one man to another, but from God to me. This is how God sees me. This is how God sees all men. This is their condition. And he has so described it to shut your mouth And for you to own the truth that from the top of your soul, the top of your head to the sole of your feet is nothing but open wounds and putrefying sores as described in Isaiah 1. And in such a condition as that, God now heralds by the gospel His righteousness. Verse 21 said, but now the righteousness of God. I just want to, as I've looked at this in the past, let me just kind of take you through my thoughts in looking at this righteousness that is declared. Because he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It becomes a righteousness that is, in verse 25, to declare His righteousness. Let me do that here in your hearing today. First of all, and I've got 13 points. I'll not preach on all 13, but I'll emphasize them. If you want to write them down or I can give them to you afterwards, they're very simple. First of all, righteousness declared in relation to time. What does verse 21 say? Now. But now. God has made it clear in the gospel that now, come now, as Isaiah would write. But now. It may have been cloudy in men's thinking in generations past, and certainly the Jews were going about to establish their own righteousness, as Paul would condemn them later in his letter. So this is righteousness declared in relation to time. Now. Second of all, this is righteousness declared in relation to law. But now the righteousness of God without the law. How the Jews thought that by keeping the law, you remember even the rich young ruler that came to the Lord Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus takes him to the Ten Commandments. And he instantly says, well, if I've kept all of that, what do I lack? Go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Come, follow me. Went away sorrowful. Because he had not been able to keep the last of those commandments. Thou shalt not covet. This is a righteousness that God has provided for us that no law could ever a man keep that could produce this righteousness that God demanded. Number three, it is a righteousness declared in relation to witness. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. These laws God had witnessed in the past, and things that they had completely missed. I'm reading to you from Psalm 32, just listen as I read. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The Apostle Paul says here in Romans chapter 3 that the righteousness of God is something that had been witnessed by the law and the prophets. They had missed it. And that law and prophet, the law and the prophets had borne witness to this great work of God, that God had in mercy. He had done so. Now he said in the law and the prophets. Well, I've read to you, David was certainly a prophet of God. But how about what God had said there in Genesis chapter 15, which would be the law? The Jews viewed Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the law. And the law had said in, as God had said to Abraham, look to the stars, look to the heavens. I have a promise for you. And he gave him that promise. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God. And it was counted. It was put to his account. Because he believed God, God declared him to be righteous. And now the righteousness of God is being unfolded for sinners to look at. It was a righteousness that had been declared in the law and in the prophets, both of which they had missed, but not entirely. Number four, the righteousness is declared in relation to reason. To reason. Verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all them that believe, for there is no difference. To the sinner, this is most unreasonable. But to those that are awakened to the righteousness of God, this becomes the most reasonable thing to be understood. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which, what? Believe. It is the power of God unto salvation. So, how reasonable, how understandable the gospel of the righteousness of God becomes to you and I who have believed in the preaching of the cross. Yes, to those that perish, it is foolishness. But on us to believe, it is the power of God. Hallelujah, that it becomes to us such a reasonable and glorious thing as we set aside our righteousness and revel in the righteousness of God as it is declared in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is righteousness declared in relation to reason. Number five, it's righteousness declared in relation to faith. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. By faith. That is in Jesus Christ. Are you glad that you've looked away from your righteousness? And you have looked to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Which of you have been successful in obeying all of God's commands, both outwardly or inwardly? Why, not one of you were able to do it before you got saved, and none of you have been able to do it since. You stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And by faith, you have looked away from anything and everything of yourself. May I say to you, what a breastplate of righteousness God has provided for us. Number six, righteousness that is declared in relation to freeness. Verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. How wonderful this declaration is. Jew and Gentile, those that are near and those that are afar off, from every far-flung island where the gospel has gone, Jesus Christ is calling out sinners. And it is a gospel that'll reach the Japanese and the Chinese. It's a gospel that'll reach deep into Africa and South America. It'll even reach, hard to believe, the streets of Asheville. Pagan Asheville. God can save. There's no difference. Aren't you glad? Amen. Tattooed from head to toe. Head shaved. Whatever it may be. Jesus Christ is the source of righteousness to them that believe. No difference. Jew or Gentile. Black or white. How wonderful the gospel. What a breastplate of righteousness. For sinners, I love the freeness of it. You may speak and declare this righteousness to every lost sinner. Number 7, it is a righteousness declared in relation to sin's scope. Not only does he say that it is unto all and upon all them that believe. He says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is a righteousness in its wideness. It is a great gospel to sinners who are all under the same condemnation, whose mouths will either be stopped in this world, and they'll bow to Jesus Christ and receive his righteousness, or one day they'll bow condemned and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But today, there is the free offer of the gospel. All have sinned, and no matter the scope of their sin, the righteousness of God is suitable for the greatness of sin. Rick told us of, reminded us of the woman who sat at that well, and Jesus would say to her, go call your husband. Why, I don't have one. Oh yes, you've had 5, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Look at the scope of all of the awful sin. Hallelujah for the righteousness of God. It's declared in relation to sin's scope. Number 8, the righteousness of God in relation to grace. Being justified freely by his grace. What unmerited favor poured out on sinners. And do we not take this verse of scripture as the very verse by which this church, this local church operates? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God to everyone that believeth. Will you believe? Have you trusted? How wonderful. How wonderful this gospel. Not of works. No, not of works. No. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is by grace, by grace, by grace. A righteousness declared in relation to the freeness of God, giving it by grace, unmerited to sinners. Why? After such a description, beginning in verse 9 and reading through verse 20, that every mouth would be stopped. The only conclusion that we could ever draw is that it would have to be an unmerited forgiveness of God given to an individual sinner like you and like me. Number 9, righteousness declared in relation to propitiating blood. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. What a marvel that God would satisfy His righteous judgment against sin in paying the debt, a debt fully paid, blood shed for His church. As Paul would say in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, that He loved the church, gave Himself for it, and He shed His blood for that church. The Bible tells us, as Peter picks up the same and says, that you and I were not purchased with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ. It is a righteousness declared in relation to the propitiating blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Number 10, it is a righteousness declared in relation to debt. Verse 25 reads, whom God has set for to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. What a debt that has been paid, that we might have our sins remitted, to be dismissed, to be released. It's what the word remission means. What a marvel that God would put away your sin. Well, He really didn't, did He? Someone really did pay for your crimes. And they were paid for it in the blood of another, so that you, the most unrighteous, could be declared that your sins were set aside. You've been dismissed from all charges. Oh, what a righteousness this is that's been declared against the greatest of criminals. Number 11. It is a righteousness declared in relation to a just God. What did the scripture say in verse 26? To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He, God, might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. If God is this infinite and holy God who cannot look upon sin, how could He, who is a just God, who must pour out on every criminal exactly what they deserve, how could He be just and yet justify the ungodly? He would do so by paying that debt in His Son, who would stand in your place and, as Isaiah would write, that our sins were placed on Him. He bare the iniquity of us all. What a breastplate of righteousness is given to sinners. It is a righteousness declared in relation to a just God. Number 12. Righteousness demanded, rather declared, in relation to human pride. Righteousness declared in relation to human pride. And so he breaks forth with the question. Now, this is a reasonable question, wouldn't you say? This is logical. Where is boasting then? A good question. And how appropriately answered. It is excluded. It cannot stand. Boasting cannot stand. How could any sinner stand before God and boast of his righteousness? No. Not when the Son of God shed his own blood. And God became the just and the justifier of ungodly sinners. No, there can be no boasting. There can be no human pride. And it will never stand for all of eternity. Where is boasting? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Can the righteousness of God actually be acquired by some work of man? He answers with a resounding, absolutely not. Nay, but by the law of faith. The law of faith. Righteousness is declared in by God's conclusion. Verse 28, that's number 13. Righteousness declared in relation to God's conclusion. Verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And Paul said that in our day of great conflict, God has provided for us a breastplate. A breastplate. A breastplate of righteousness. Where we can stand. Who can lay any charge to God's elect? Paul would conclude that in the 8th chapter of this same book. He would say to them, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The enemy comes in as a flood, a vast host, array every accusation against us as the children of God. But there is a righteousness wherein we stand. Nothing of ourselves. No, it was not the sinner's prayer that saved you. It was the grace of God that saved you. Was it by faith? Yes. Was it a faith that you had inside of you that just needed to be like Aladdin's lamp rubbed a little bit? And somehow burst forth in a cloud of faith that rose up out of you? No. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The faith by which you have trusted Christ, God has given freely to you as an ungodly sinner. Who had deserved his wrath. In the process of time, he shut your mouth. And you owned to the truth that you were guilty, condemned. Ah, but he showed you Christ. And he showed you his blood. And he showed you his cross. And he showed you his empty tomb. And he showed you his ascension. And he showed you him on his throne. And you bowed the knee and the Son of God saved you by His grace. Yes, you and I have a breastplate of righteousness imputed to us. He has not laid our sins to us. Blessed is the man to whom God would not impute his sins. He instead imputed them to another, so that the righteousness of the Son could be given to you. What a gospel. What a gospel. Oh, that the lost could hear it and could throw off every thought of self-righteousness and own the truth of God's righteous judgment against them, and that they would bow their knee knowing that they were hell-deserving sinners, and that God will be justified someday when they, in their rebellion, whose mouths were full of cursing, will be made to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the rightful Lord, and that their condemnation to be cast into the lake of fire is their just reward of their rebellion. God, have mercy on sinners. May He have mercy on our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. May He have mercy on our neighbors. And may God use you to herald this gospel of the righteousness of God to sinners who, like you once were, without hope and without God. May God stir us up with the gospel of the righteousness of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the righteousness that's found in Christ alone. And thank you for this breastplate. We stand, nothing in ourselves, and rejoice in this righteousness put to our account. Please today, somewhere, let there be some sinner who hears the gospel and throws off all self-righteousness and bows to receive Jesus Christ, the crucified one, as the payment for their sin. How we plead that mercy. And thank you now again, Lord Jesus, for your satisfying blood shed. Help us today as we worship, and send us forth as witnesses to this righteousness. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing number 195 as we close our service this morning. Hymn number 195. If you wish to stand, you may. If you're not able to stand, you may remain seated. We'll sing number 195, singing all four verses. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And would you say, amen, amen. And amen. Amen. Lord bless you.